This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Rhys Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jaden Daniels, end zone, it is! Caught for the touchdown! Zach Ertz takes Washington into the playoffs!
That came at the end of a 12-play drive to start overtime on Sunday Night Football, December 29th against the Atlanta Falcons. Washington beat the Falcons 30-24, clinched a playoff berth. Atlanta never saw the ball in overtime. That may change starting next year. By the way, Ted Leonsis was with me on my podcast yesterday. I'm going to play a chunk of that with him talking about how he's handling the process of the Wizards, you know, going through these years of accumulating draft choices, and they're not going to be very good for a while. How he's handling that, you'll hear that at 12 noon. Ryan Fowler, who covers the NFL draft, will join us at 12:25. So, I think most of you know, the overtime rule in the NFL's regular season is different than the NFL's overtime rule in the postseason. Here's some data I did not realize. Troy Vincent, the league executive and the head of the rules committee, said, quote, "It's time to rethink the overtime rule," closed quote, at the NFL Indy Combine yesterday. He said the competition committee agrees that overtime rules will be addressed. Receiving the ball first, okay, winning the coin toss in the regular season and taking the ball has become more of an advantage than pre-2011 when overtime was sudden death. The rule right now, and it got changed in 2012 when you could score a touchdown on the opening drive and the other team would not get a chance to touch the ball. But if you kicked a field goal, the other team would still have a chance to get the football. That's been the overtime rule in the regular season for a while. In the playoffs, you're guaranteed a possession even if the team who receives the opening kickoff goes down and scores a touchdown. But listen to some of this data. Receiving teams, okay, by the way, that's more often than not teams that won the coin toss, won 56.8% of the games in overtime from 2017 to 2024. Up from 55.4% from 2001 to 2011. Now, how many of those teams won on the first possession? Less than 50%. You know, if you go back to 2001 to 2011, the overtime rule, the old overtime rule, that data, 55.4%, the receiving team in overtime won the game 55.4%, but they only won the game on the opening possession of overtime 50.4% of the time. You know, remember with the old overtime rule, there was that feeling, well, if you lose the coin toss, you lose the game because you're never going to see the ball because all they got to do is get into field goal range. Well, actually 50% of the time, basically, the other team had a chance to get the football. But still, the team that won the coin toss ended up winning, or received to open up overtime, won the majority of the games. And now that number's gone up. That number has gone up. I wonder why that is. Like, I was thinking about that. I guess in part because you're trying to score that touchdown on the opening drive to end the game. Maybe you drive it further on average. Maybe teams that take over on a possession after you punt it or kick a field goal on your opening drive, then either match it with a field goal or are unable to match it with a field goal. I mean, bottom line is they're looking to change the overtime rules. The change is going to be, if they do it and it's got to be voted on, they're going to change it to the overtime rule, which, by the way, must come. And I didn't read this in there in the story about this, but I would assume it must have attached to it the increase back to a 15-minute overtime from 10 minutes. Because remember, they reduced overtime for safety reasons from 15 minutes to 10 minutes. Well, if you're going to allow a team to score a touchdown and the game not to end, you can't have a 10-minute overtime. A team could go on a 7-8 minute drive, score a touchdown, and now the other team's got 2 minutes, 3 minutes to go down and tie the game. No. You're going to have to give, if the idea is to make it competitively fair so that the team that doesn't receive and doesn't start with the football first have an advantage, you've got to extend the overtime to 15 minutes. So look for that to potentially be a new rule in 2025. Overtime going to 15 minutes and overtime going to the playoff rule, which was adopted in 2022 or shortly after 2022 when the Bills lost that epic 42-36 game to the Chiefs when they never touched the ball in overtime. That was the last overtime game we got without the new rule, which is, yeah, you can go down and score a touchdown, but we're going to get the ball. And that's why when Kyle Shanahan took the ball in overtime against Kansas City, it was a mistake. Because then when Kansas City got the ball back, they knew exactly what they needed. You know, in that case, it was a field goal to tie, a touchdown to win. So what we'll see with the overtime rule, if it does get changed, and it sounds like it will, you'll see now teams that win the toss defer and give the other team the ball first. It'll be more like the college rule without the, you know, down and distance situation, the 25-yard line. But you'll want, when you get the ball for your offensive possession, you'll want to know what you need. Do we need a touchdown? Do we need a field goal? What do we need to win the game? Or can we consider punting? You know, the advantage of having the ball second with the overtime rules is you're now, if you're losing the game, even if it's by 7 or 3, you are now a 4-down team. You have that 4-down opportunity. You're not going to punt the football. You can't punt the football if you're losing in overtime. So anyway, look for that. By the way, there's another rule change that is headed our way. Mark Maskey in the Post writes extensively about this. The NFL intends to use its electronic system to measure first downs in the 2025 regular season. The implementation of this technology does not require an approval vote by NFL team owners. So we are going to see this. This has been announced. The league is going to deploy this electronic system to measure first downs. Now, let me kind of net it out for you. This is not going to take chains off the field, first down markers off the field. They are still going to be used as a backup. This is not going to be used to spot the football. God, how many times as NFL fans, when we're watching games, do we watch the spot of the football and say, What are you doing, dude? You missed it by like a half yard. And now it's third and a half yard instead of a first down. It's not going to be used for spotting the football. The referees will still continue to spot the football. What it will be used for is to quickly identify whether or not the spot of the football is a first down or not. So they'll be communicated to via the technology, hey, that's a first down. We don't need to measure. We don't need to take a hard look at it. Or, you know, a lot of times you'll see referees, you know, looking at it. Do we need to measure, not measure? They'll be told whether or not their spot is a first down. And then with respect to the spot itself, well, that's what the challenge system is for. And we do get occasionally from New York, we'll get, if it's a truly awful spot, the referees, without a play being challenged, will be told, actually, you missed it by a yard. You know, back it up a yard. It's actually third and one. It's not a first down. So we're going to get that. We're going to get the electronic system to measure first downs in 2025, and we're going to get a vote on changing the overtime rules for 2025. You know, I'm, by the way, it has not been said by Troy Vincent that the overtime rules will mirror what they have in the postseason. I'm just assuming that it will. To me, that makes the most sense. I mean, what else could you change about the overtime if you want it to be more competitively fair for the team that doesn't receive the football to start overtime? I mean, the only thing you can go to from where you are now is to ensure that that team has a possession if the other team scores. They do get that possession if the other team kicks a field goal. They don't currently if the other team scores a touchdown. I think that'll change, and I think they'll move overtime to 15 minutes. So this, by the way, you know, after earlier in the week, Troy Vincent said tush push is going to be looked at. I have a weird feeling that that's going to be dealt with. I know a lot of people that may be a contrarian view. I just think that people around the league feel the way Mark Murphy does, that it's just not a football play. And I pointed out the other day that there's a lot of focus on the tush push on fourth and one, or even third and one. It's really in the fact that it's, you know, a scrum, it's a rugby scrum, it doesn't really feel like an NFL play. There is, by the way, increased injury risk, etc. But what really should be discussed by those that want the tush push abolished is that it's not just, you know, a fourth and one or a third and one. Sometimes it's a third and two and a half play. You know, so you get back-to-back tush pushes. Who wants to see that anymore? I don't, and it has nothing to do with this being a play that the team in our division, the Philadelphia Eagles, have made famous. If this were a play Jacksonville's been using for the last 2 years, 3 years, I'd still feel the same way. I understand that not everybody agrees. Some of you are like, well, you know, stop it. Well, stop it, okay, except for the fact that they were on the verge of awarding Philadelphia a touchdown because of Washington trying to stop it, trying to time it up by having Frankie Louvu jump over the line of scrimmage and nail Jalen Hurts by timing it. He just mistimed it a couple of times. I mean, how else are you going to stop it consistently? Defenses are going to have to come up with ways. You can't, after multiple offsides in a row, you can't award a touchdown. They can by rule now. I think that's going to be dealt with. I do. I may be way off on that. They've got it. Guys like Mark Murphy, who are arguing against this, need to discuss it in the terms of not just one play, but sometimes two plays to move the sticks, two tush pushes, two brotherly shoves in a row. I don't want to see third and three, third and two, tush push, tush push. I don't want to see that anymore. I want to see real football. And then lastly, Troy Vincent confirmed yesterday. I'm looking for the quote now. Yeah, here it is. On the new kickoff rule. He said, quote, I think it'll land on the 35-yard line being that touchback area, closed quote. So the new kickoff rule from this past season was a one-year rule. It has to be approved for 2025. several people in the league, several of the key decision makers, competition committee, etc., want to penalize teams that kick it into the end zone attempting to force a touchback by 5 more yards. So instead of the ball coming out to the 30-yard line on a touchback, it would come back out to the 35-yard line. They think that could increase even further the number of kickoffs that get returned. That requires 24 of 32 owners. That requires 3/4 of a vote. I personally think that we saw enough of an increase in kickoff returns. I think giving penalizing a team by giving the other team the ball at the 35-yard line is just too big of a penalty. It's a massive advantage to start your drive at the 35-yard line following a kickoff. I mean, you are literally, in most cases, 2 first downs away from field goal range. And I'm not saying, like I said the other day, not 20 yards exactly. Most first downs aren't 10 and 10. You know, most of them are on average about 12 to 13 yards and then 12 to 13 yards of yardage that end up moving the chains. So, you know, 26 yards of field position gets you to the other team's 41-yard line. That's field goal range in this league. I don't want 2 first downs to equal 3 points. I think you got to earn it a little bit more. I didn't have a problem with the kickoff rule. I thought I was going to hate the look and feel of it. Got used to it, like everything, right? But it was fine, okay? It increased the number of kickoff returns we saw. It increased, you know, starting field position for the offense. It did, you know, force teams to strategize over the play. It became less of a non-play than it was before. I think they hit the sweet spot. I think it was 32.8% of the kicks were touchbacks. I think that was the number. You know, so it was down from the previous year. I just don't hear a lot of clamoring from NFL fans about, you know, messing anymore with the kickoff rule. But it looks like they're going to. It looks like they're going to make touchbacks an even bigger penalty to the kicking team, giving the offense the ball at the 35. Look, it probably will, you know, I think, encourage more kickoffs into the landing zone, you know, in between the goal line and the 20. All right, so some NFL news with respect to rules coming out of the Combine. We'll talk with Ryan Fowler about some of the players at the Combine and something he reported yesterday about Washington and a running back in the Combine. When we come back, a little bit more on Washington's current approach here in the offseason. Ted Leonsis at 12, Ryan Fowler at 12:25. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.